super.
Yeah. If everybody has, does anybody miss them, Mom?
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Praise God! Matter of fact, if you turn to the first page in there, Psalm 148, it starts with that exact phrase. Hallelujah, praise God. This is to the tune of all of 100. I think everybody knows the doxology.
Hallelujah from heaven's praise. Yahweh invites praise to him and me. All ye his angels praise.
Appointed to
people don't keep to do good. It's not because God doesn't command it, it's because we forgot to. And that's what the whole song's about, isn't that amazing? King David thought that was pretty important. Well, we usually have a Old and a New Testament reading every Sabbath, and but for the New Moon, we just use the covenant, the New Covenant, which is on the second page, because the scripture that teaches us to keep the New Covenant is actually found in Hebrews 8, which you'll see right here, second page, and Jeremiah 31. So it is both a New Testament and an Old Testament reading, all in one, isn't that nice? And then immediately after that, we'll see why the New Moon is connected to that. If you go to the next pages, so go one, two pages over, and you'll see the Pledge of the Covenant, which is the continuation of it, which links why we do this on the New Moon. So, usually how we do it, just so we all know what we're doing here, is I read the dark stuff, and then the response is made in the palace, okay? And so, it just kind of helps our mind think about what we're saying rather than sounding like robots. That's the only reason we do it. It's not because I have any special powers. It just helps us keep the line. So, that's it. So, if everybody's there, the New Covenant, this is from Hebrews 8, 7-13, and Jeremiah 31, 31-34. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For in finding fault with them, he saith,
Behold, the day is come, saith Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
Not according to the covenant that I made with your fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith Yahweh.
For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be in them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their righteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more.
In that he saith a new covenant, he has made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. Just like the new moon. So if you go to that next page from there, you just turn one page, two page. It says the Pledge of the Covenant. And this is what Yahweh, the everlasting, ever living Almighty God, tells us. That we can always be depending on Him for. And we'll say this all together.
Thus saith Yahweh, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon, and the stars for a light by night, which divides the sea from the waves thereof roars. Yahweh of hosts is His name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yahweh, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being nation before me forever. Thus saith Yahweh, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth are now beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yahweh.
Did anyone see the sun come up this morning? Yeah. Guess what? He's still faithful. Did you know we have a new month coming from the moon? He's still faithful. And so we got to be faithful too. That's our word. Hang on to that, and you can be seated.
It's a little different than what I'm used to, so. See how this will work for me. Well, there are three scriptures that we usually remember on the new moon just to kind of help us with understanding what we do. And one of which is not technically considered the scripture. It's from the Apocrypha. Some people don't think that that is part of the Bible, but it's definitely a historical account. So the last one, know that that's where it comes from. That's why it's last. But Genesis 1, 14-15 tells us that God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and that let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. So that's one of the reasons we do what we do, because God made the heavens for that reason. Numbers 10:10 also tells us that in the day of our gladness and in our solemn days, in the new moons, the beginning of our months, that we should blow with the trumpet over our burnt offerings and over our sacrifices of peace offerings, that they may be for us to a memorial before our God, for Yahweh is our God. And we don't offer sacrifices anymore. We offer the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And so that's why we sing together. That's why we praise God together. The last one is Sirach 43:1-10, which is, like I said, tells us what the ancients thought about the moon and how it worked. And it says, the pride of height, the clear firmament, the beauty of heaven with its glorious show. The Lord made the moon to serve in her seasons for a declaration of times and a sign of the world. From the moon is the sign of the feasts, a light that decreases in her perfection. The month is called after her name, increasing wonderfully in her changing, being an instrument of the armies above and shining in the firmament of heaven. And so those three scriptures this month, hopefully we can think about them and think about what they mean and why they direct us the way that they do. And maybe that will help us kind of understand why we're doing what we do and have a good biblical basis for doing it, right? Well, also, I'll let you know, in the fifth month, which is the new moon that we're entering into, there was a couple things that happened, and there's one real special thing. Anybody know the most special thing to be remembered on this new moon day? Anybody? Aaron. Everybody knows who Aaron is, right? Moses' brother. Aaron died at 123 years old, and he was buried in the mountain on this day. That's the truth. God, for whatever reason, chose to kill him on a new moon, and he died. So one of the most important things to remember on the fifth new moon is actually that Aaron, the brother of Moses, died and was buried on this day. Now, that's not like super important, I guess, but it's a good piece of history to know, right? But we also know that in the book of Ezra, that we are told that there went up of the children of Israel and of the priests and the Levites, the singers and the porters, the Nethinim, unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. And it came to Jerusalem, they came there on the fifth month in the seventh year, which is the fifth new moon. And it was on the first day of the first month that they went to. They went all the way from now, all the way until next spring, for him to go up from Babylon. And they arrived there on this day, Ezra 7:9 says, and they came to Jerusalem according to the good hand of God that he put upon them. So it took a long time for them to get where they were going, but they finally arrived, and they arrived today. And so Ezra, we're told, is a very special guy, and he prepared his heart to seek the law of Yahweh and to do it and to teach Israel the statutes and the judgments of God. So Ezra is a man to be remembered today also, because finally he arrived back in his homeland to teach his people God's law and how they should worship Yahweh, the God of heaven. And so very important things to remember. And so we'll just put that out there for us to remember during that time. Why don't we turn, if we got a Bible, to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23.
affirming in a non-very often.
We want to keep one.
You can keep as many as you want.
Well, I think there's going to be one more drop on
that. Yeah.
Everybody finds the sheet in here that says the confession of fellowship and of the forgiveness of sin. Confession of fellowship. By forgiveness of sin. And then after that, we will sing the psalm that is on the next page. It should be a psalm 89, that last psalm. Which psalm 89 gives thanks to Yahweh for Christ for forgiving our sins. So, as it should correspond. This is a confession of fellowship. It's all one. We're not going to go through all of it. We sometimes use a lot more of 1 John to do it, but we streamlined it just to help everybody so we can get through it a little quicker. But this is our fellowship that we actually have together. Our fellowship is in the way that we are forgiven and the way that we come to God together. And so we're going to say the Ten Commandments in the middle of this because we all break the Ten Commandments. All of us are sinners. And Jesus forgives us of our sins. And he wants us to go back to the Ten Commandments and learn what we've done wrong and serve him. So that's why we do this. And it's a good thing for us to remember on a regular basis. This comes from 1 John 1 and 2, and of course Exodus 20, which we've already read. Let's say it all together. If we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh thy God. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. We who say that we have fellowship should not sin. But if we do sin, there is an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sin only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his words, that the truth be in us. Amen. Let's sing Psalm 89. Psalm 89. There you go. The very one, last Psalm on the back. Let's pay attention to the words of the psalm if we can. Remember, these are the words of the Bible, so they're all true. We'll hum it out a little bit so everybody can catch the melody. My love. we go through this every month. There's a lot of confusion about how things work in the Bible, and this is a really good way to do it. So every month, we actually use the Athanasian Creed to teach us the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And so, once again, we do black. I speak the black, and then the italics are done by the congregation, and so it corresponds. It helps us think about it. So if everybody has a copy, we'll do this, and then we are finished with our formal service, and we'll just have some fellowship time for the rest of the day. Would one of you, brother, either of you guys like to close the prayer for me? Whosoever will be safe before all things is necessary that he hold the united faith, which faith except everyone who keep whole and undefiled without doubt, he shall perish everlastingly. And the united faith is this. Neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance.
There is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Spirit.
But the Godhead of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit are all one.
The glory of the old majesty is so eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father infinite, the Son infinite, and the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Spirit eternal.
Yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. As also there are not three uncreated, nor three infinite,
but one uncreated and one infinite.
So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet there are not three almighty, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So likewise the Father is Lord, the Son Lord, and the Holy Spirit Lord.
And yet there are not three Lord Yahwehs, but one Yahweh.
For like as we are compelled by the Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be Yahweh, God, and Lord,
so we are commanded by the united faith to say that there be three gods or three lords. The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created but begotten. The Holy Spirit is of the Father and the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is a former after another, none is greater or lesser than another.
But the Holy Spirit persons are co-eternal and co-equal.
So that in all things as aforesaid,
the unity is in Trinity, and the Trinity is in unity in worship.
He therefore that will be saved must think of the Trinity. Furthermore, it is necessary in everlasting salvation that one also believe faithfully the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. God. For the right faith is that we believe and confess
that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man, God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the world, man of the substance of his mother, born into the world.
Perfect God and perfect man,
of a reasonable soul and human flesh of Christians, equal to the Father as touching Godhead, but inferior to the Father as touching his manhood.
Who, although he be God and man, he is not two, but one Christ.
One not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking of the manhood into God. One altogether not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as the reasonable soul of flesh is one man,
the God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead. He descended into heaven, he sitteth on the right hand of the Father God Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge
This is our united faith. Except one believes, they're not saved. Brother Duane, would you mind closing us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day and for all the blessings that you give us here today, for all the safe travels, for this conversation that we are having, for the understanding of your word to be conveyed to us regarding your congregation, regarding the celebration and study of your word. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity for all of our children to come together and in your word celebrate your word. Love towards us, and to know your love towards us, and we will all learn from it, grow from it, and be strengthened by it, and endure for the impact that you will love with us. Thank you, Father, for loving us through for us, for your Son, who came to show us the way back to you. In the name of God, in your heavenly name, we pray.